everybody. It's your buddy. It's your pals, Pass Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, here with night two of the WWE draft and all the conversation coming out of that. But I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I'm not going to run this down like I ran down SmackDown, because let's be real, SmackDown is a shorter show. There's presumably less to talk about. But Monday Night Raw, and you guys notice I don't do like individual Raw SmackDown reviews anymore. That's why, you know, that's why WWE last week became a thing. I could sort of touch on everything all at once. This was all focused around the draft, which is a really bad thing because it's supposed to be the go-home show to Backlash, seeing as the SmackDown before Backlash is the one that's going to be in France and pre-taped, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to do anything super important there. But, I mean, what really happened? The only cool thing that happened on Raw, or I shouldn't say the only cool thing, that's a little bit straying into hyperbole, but, I mean, if you know me at all, and you know what I like, the thing that stuck out above, like head and shoulders above everything else, was the CM Punk, Drew McIntyre stuff. Well, CM Punk got picked in the second round. We'll get into the rounds in a bit. Drew McIntyre didn't get pulled till the third round. Drew McIntyre came out, cut a promo, talking about how ridiculous it was. He told off the APA because they were doing like guest call-out type stuff like they did on SmackDown. Asked them if they were drunk. Eventually, Ron Simmons got a damn in there, so that was kind of funny. The Dudleys were there, too, and people got mad about Bubba, again, because Busted Open Radio apparently winds people up. I don't listen to it. I don't know. It's like the Cornette thing. But anyways, Drew McIntyre came out. He was all freaked out and pissed off about the fact that he got injured. He hyperextended his elbow and he still comes to work, not like CM Punk. Roddy, Roddy, Raw. CM Punk is there. He cuts a promo from a skybox. He's like, I'm right here, bitch. Come do something about it. Drew McIntyre proceeds to storm through the back. He cuts through a promo that was happening between Sheamus and Bron Breakker, where Sheamus is basically saying, hey, you know, don't get hot, don't get hot. I've seen what you've done in NXT. I'm a big fan, you know. I bet they're going to have a brawl at some point, and it'll be good. Drew McIntyre blasts past them and gets up to the skybox. And there's a 8x10 autograph from CM Punk as CM Punk comes down to the ring, sits Indian style in the ring. I know you're not supposed to say it that way, but whatever. He basically replicates the pipe bomb, which is awesome. He's got the same pose. He's holding the microphone the same way. He's got the same, you know, vintage CM Punk t-shirt, except the sleeves are cut off. I've seen a side-by-side picture that's going around today that's kind of hilarious. And he says, you know, I'm going to try and do this in less... I've got only a little bit to say. I'm going to try and do it in less time than you held the world title, which was a nice thing. It's a nice callback to when CM Punk left WWE and they were getting CM Punk chants. And Stephanie McMahon one time tried to get them to shut up by saying, if you keep that up for two more minutes, you'll last longer than he did in the UFC. So for him to come back and use this, a similar thing was really, really cool. For a split second, I thought the announcement was going to be, I'm cleared, we're going to fight in France. You know, the Drew McIntyre injury's been exaggerated. My injury wasn't as bad as I thought it was. The physio has worked. I thought they were going to, at the last minute, drop in CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre at Backlash. Now, would that have been kind of hasty and kind of a rating-popping type thing? Yes, but who the fuck cares? Because it would have been awesome. Now, they got me going on that, and he kept on going back to Pat McAfee. He says, how am I doing on time? How am I doing on time? He does, you know, in this ring, on the microphone, even at commentary. Sorry, Michael and Pat. And he says, you know, you got 2 minutes left or whatever. And he basically says, you know, you wished for me to get hurt. I'm glad that your elbow got hurt. But, you know, real winners don't wish for things like that to happen. Real winners go and make things happen. And when I do get back and when I am cleared, I'm going to make your life a living hell. So, going down the line here, it's a 50-50 split, isn't it? When we get to Clash at the Castle in Scotland, is it going to be Drew McIntyre getting a shot at the world title again? Or is it going to be CM Punk getting his hands on Drew McIntyre in his home country, his actual home country, not when they pretended Wales was his home country? So that was really good. That was really fun. People are going to hate me saying this. People are going to hate me saying this. In the absence of Roman Reigns, SmackDown is Cody's show. Raw is going to be Punk's show. It is what it is. Raw is going to be what Collision could have been. I'm an asshole. It's fine. Elsewhere on the show, Becky Lynch came out for a victory speech. She was cut off by Liv Morgan, who kind of said, yeah, you wouldn't hold that title right now if it wasn't for me, because I did what you couldn't. I took out Rhea Ripley. You couldn't do that. And then she says, yeah, but I wouldn't hold the title if I hadn't beaten you in the Battle Royal. They have a little bit of a skirmish that's interrupted by Nia Jax, who's going to SmackDown. We'll talk about that shortly. Liv and Nia Jax have a match later on in the night. There's a distraction by a couple of the women from SmackDown, Tiffany Stratton and Naomi. Nia Jax gets distracted by that because clearly she's going to be going and dealing with the ladies on SmackDown. So her losing here didn't hurt at all. Liv Morgan getting a win didn't hurt at all. Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, and Rhea Ripley, when she gets back, are going to be a good little dichotomy along with some other people that have just joined the roster. We got the announcement that the King of the Ring is starting next week. I guess the preliminary rounds, and that was announced during a match between Gunther and Woods, where Gunther beat the living shit out of Woods again to the point of Kofi Kingston almost throwing in the towel. Now, throwing in the towel is not a new thing, but Woods, especially going into the King of the Ring and how important that is, really didn't want him to throw in the towel. Are we going to get a thing where Kofi Kingston throws in the towel and there's actually finally a problem in the New Day? I know New Day has always said that they're the one group that's never going to break up. You know, they're brothers, they're always going to be brothers. But brothers fight. And even if it's just a one-off, even if they're just blowing off steam and then they're fine again, I'd love to see a Kofi Kingston versus Xavier Woods match. Big E probably would get involved at some point, you know, be the guy stuck between his two friends, do a better version of, you know, Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, Orange Cassidy, but good. You know, put Big E on commentary or something like that, have him come off at the last minute and slap the taste out of both of them, and they have a triple threat match later on down the line. It's fine. Gunther still looks like a monster. That's fine as well. They did this really convoluted... Logan Paul was on the show for a night, which led people to believe that he was going to be drafted, but he wasn't because the champions were protected, and we knew that in advance. He was there with, I don't know YouTube. I mean, I'm on YouTube. I get it, but I'm not in the type of YouTube sphere that Logan Paul is in. I don't know who IsoSpeed is at all. But they came out, they were announcing a bunch of drafts as well. They were also pally-pally with the Judgment Day and a bunch of football players. So you got Logan Paul, a bunch of football players, and the Judgment Day, like, all, like, mutually, like, sucking each other off, like, aren't we fucking awesome? And it ended up with Jey Uso coming out because Logan Paul called him the Ugly Uso, and then Logan Paul borrowed some guy's, like, 5 or 6 Super Bowl rings, went to clock Jey Uso with them, and ended up getting JD McDonagh instead, who had comedy bruise makeup for the rest of the night, which was a lot of fun as well. Chad Gable continues to be a dick to the members of the Alpha Academy. Alpha Academy didn't have a good night either. Maxine Dupri took a loss to Candice LeRae. And Otis and Tozawa lost in short order to the Awesome Truth. So not a good day for them all around. Damian Priest keeps fighting with his fellow members of the Judgment Day. Now, when Judgment Day were drafted, we're going to talk about that in a second as well. Judgment Day was drafted as Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, and Dominic Mysterio. Not Priest, obviously, because he's a champion, and not Rhea Ripley, because she's out right now. So that's the beginning of the end. When we get to the drafts, you're going to see what I did. There was not a lot of movement. I take that criticism under advisement, but what we did with the draft was we separated people that have been together too long, either rivals that have been rivals for too long, or some partners that needed to get away from each other. And I will get to that when I run down the entire full draft. Sami Zayn is still your Intercontinental Champion. He booted Gable in the face, in the back, while he was talking some shit to some other people. He had a match with Bronson Reed that was interrupted by Gable because Gable wanted to attack him again. Sami Zayn got him back, and then Bronson Reed got them both. So we're getting a triple threat match. I just don't know when. What else? In the main event, we had a 3-on-3 match. It was the Judgment Day versus Andrade, Ricochet, and Jey Uso. which is fine. And by that point, I was just already taking my notes on the draft. So, as I say, everything is moving along. It didn't feel like a go-home show because it was too focused on being a draft show. But the draft show part of it wasn't that good either. I don't know, the CM Punk and Drew McIntyre stuff obviously popped me. The presentation of the draft itself, I still did like. When we get to the NXT call-ups specifically, it was really cool to see, especially some of the ones that were announced on Monday. The natural reaction, everybody broke kayfabe on NXT, everybody was congratulating everybody else. If you see in the crowd shots, Lexus King specifically just bigging up everybody that got called up, that was really cool considering he plays a sleazebag on NXT. The various GMs with the various war rooms and just sending out representatives to read off stuff. You don't have to read too much into it. The APA was there for a night so Ron Simmons could say damn. The Dudleys were there to do table stuff and say what's up. It was cool to see, you know, Teddy Long and Alondra Blaze and, you know, Stephanie McMahon, even though, you know, most people are coming at Stephanie McMahon with guilt by association nonsense. So it did what, like, the presentation of it, the fact that they protected the champions, the fact that, you know, they made NXT a big part of it. I'm kind of surprised that the character of Ava wasn't there in some respect to say, hey, you guys are taking all my talent, who can I take? But they already just kind of filter people down to NXT anyway, so maybe they don't need to do that. Booker T being in the back as sort of a draft correspondent and getting told off by Drew McIntyre and getting told off by a couple of other people. Adam Pearce going out of his way on social media to wind people up by saying, I'm wearing a jacket tonight that is in homage to Jim Cornette. Pissed off all the right people. And it just kind of was. I feel kind of bad for the people that actually had matches on Raw this week because we were just waiting for names to be called. We were just waiting for stuff to happen. And here's where I will get controversial. Yes, a lot of people stayed where they were, but that's because there's plans for them there. People that are challenging for championships shouldn't be going to another show, because as the GM, if you're challenging for a championship, you don't want to potentially lose that title to somebody that's going to another brand. So that part made sense. And also, there's more than one way to show. I mean, perfect example was, I don't personally agree, but the number one pick on night one was Bianca Belair staying on SmackDown, which means Nick Aldis, in his infinite wisdom, decided the number one thing I have to make sure of is that I keep Bianca Belair on this brand. Now, I don't personally like Bianca Belair. You guys know that. I think she's a bit obnoxious and she's a bit grating at times. And the fact that people are starting to give her the Sasha treatment of, oh my God, they need to give her more when they've given her more than most of the women on the roster. That's besides the point. What they did there, from a storytelling point of view, from a WWE kayfabe point of view, is they said, yeah, this person stayed where they were because the person overseeing them made it their number one priority to keep them where they were. That is a shot in the arm. That isn't nothing. But as far as a night that's supposed to shake things up, I understand people's point as well that that's not very exciting. So, instead of going through all the calls and all the special announcers and whatever, I've just got the entire draft beginning to end. The stuff from Monday, the stuff from last Friday, and the stuff that was announced on social media after both shows. I've got it broken down kind of who stayed where they were and who was a big move. Night one, round one, Bianca Belair stays on SmackDown. Jey Uso stays on Raw. Seth Rollins stays on Raw. And in a more official capacity, Carmelo Hayes comes up from NXT to join the SmackDown roster. Now, he went on that night. Carmelo Hayes was the only one not in the Performance Center with the rest of the NXT crowd, which is kind of a bummer, because they did, they had Ava and Shawn Michaels, and they took a, I guess it's like, I made the comment on night one that this is the closest thing you have in wrestling to a graduation, and they kind of took a grad photo with all the other people that I'm about to mention, and Carmelo Hayes wasn't a part of that because he was on SmackDown. Now, he was on SmackDown, he got to debut against Cody Rhodes the same way he debuted against Adam Cole when he joined NXT. much bigger thing, but he lost out on sort of a sentimental moment. So that's kind of cool. Really cool to see Carmelo Hayes on the main roster. Now, they had that botch in the match where they both kind of fell on their shoulders and they missed what they were, whatever they were trying to do by miles. But you know what? It's fine. Round two, night one. Randy Orton stays on SmackDown. Raw gets Braun Breaker. Cool. It seems like they're building a collection of big guys on Raw just to have, like, you know, the Big E special, the Big Meaty Man slapping man meat. So throw Braun Breaker in there as well. As I say, last night on Raw, he had that interaction with Sheamus. Drew McIntyre got involved at one point. I'm sure this is the end of him having squash matches and, you know, killing Cameron Grimes before, you know, he got released, which is unfortunate. You know, killing Cedric Alexander and setting Twitter on fire. Killing Zion Quinn, and Zion Quinn got let go too, didn't he? Is Braun Breaker the sword of Damocles? Now, if you've got a big meaty man slapping man meat going over to Raw, the equivalent of that for SmackDown is that they pick up Nia Jax. And I'm just going to leave that comment where it is. And Liv Morgan stays on Raw. She's got a thing going with Becky Lynch. And she will with Rhea Ripley when Rhea Ripley gets back. That's absolutely fine. Round three, SmackDown keeps LA Knight. Raw keeps Ricochet. SmackDown keeps the Bloodline. The Bloodline is defined as Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman. Because Jimmy is injured, he's not qualifying for a draft. Because Jay is not in the Bloodline anymore. He's, you know, separately already been drafted. And Roman Reigns removed himself from the draft. So the Bloodline is a tag team now. And what I said on night one is if I am a town down under, I am a little bit terrified. Now, they said Sheamus, I mentioned this the other night, they said Sheamus got drafted to Raw, but he already made his return on Raw, so that's absolutely fine. In round four, AJ Styles stays on SmackDown, Alpha Academy stay on Raw, Andrade gets drafted to SmackDown for all the good reasons that I mentioned before. He was basically on Raw to kick Dominic Mysterio around a little bit, and he can't do that anymore because Dominic Mysterio is injured. And one cool thing that happened on Friday as well was the NXT call-up of Kiana James. Underrated in NXT, never really got a shot at the Women's Championship. She proved her mettle in the very first Iron Survivor match, and if you haven't seen that, I would suggest you go back and see it. It is filmed in COVID times, so that's a little unfortunate, but it's a concept-proving evening for that gimmick match. Now, what I didn't know at the time was that there were supplemental drafts after Friday, and so I didn't talk about it on Friday, but the OC are staying on SmackDown. Baron Corbin got a call-up from NXT, is a weird thing to say because he's gone back and forth a couple of times. Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis are staying on SmackDown. Shayna Baszler staying on Raw. Zoe Stark is staying on Raw. That makes sense. They're a tag team. But speaking of tag teams, Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn are coming up to Raw. That will be a lot of fun, and Ivar has held on to Ivar as well. Incidentally, I'm filming this before night two of Spring Break and later on this evening, and Ivar is taking on Obafemi for the North American Championship. Do I think he's going to win? Absolutely not. Do I think it's going to be another Big E special? Absolutely. Now, for night two, and here's where I'm going to get into some stuff here. Imperium was drafted to Raw in round one. Imperium is now Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser because they took out Giovanni Vinci. We'll get more into that later on, but they are solidifying those two as the definitive unit. It's like deciding that Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga are the definitive bloodline at the moment. Jade Cargill stays on SmackDown, no big surprise. Huge one for Raw. Raw drafts damage control, which means they draft four women. Dakota Kai's finally cleared. Kairi Sane and Asuka are the tag team champions, and Io Sky will get herself in the mix quite quickly. Now, whether Io Sky mixes it up with somebody like a Becky Lynch, or Io Sky has sort of a heel-on-heel match with Liv Morgan, if Liv Morgan gets the championship, there's a lot of cool things to happen there. There's a lot of individuals in that group that can have great matches. I mean, just looking at Becky Lynch alone, Becky versus Io, yes. Becky versus Asuka some more, yes. Becky versus Kairi, Becky versus Dakota Kai, all matches that I want to see. And I mean, Rhea Ripley tearing through all of them when she gets back. Yes, I'm really, really high on the Rhea Ripley return. Can you tell? And Kevin Owens is staying on SmackDown. Now, in round two, kind of surprised that he didn't go in round one. In round two, Raw holds on to CM Punk. Of course Raw holds on to CM Punk. I'm just saying. CM Punk, I'm putting it out there in the universe. As you guys know, as I've mentioned a couple of times now, WWE is coming to Toronto for three nights in a row. You got a SmackDown, you got an NXT show with Money in the Bank in the middle. If CM Punk wins Money in the Bank and cashes in the same night and becomes champion in Toronto, I that's it. We've peaked. It is absolutely peaked. SmackDown holds on to Bobby Lashley, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, and B-Fab. And for the first time that I've ever heard them actually say it on TV, they're calling them the Pride, which is really, really lame. Really lame. Really, really, really lame. Raw drafts Braun Strowman, who went on later on in the evening, I didn't mention it before, while Jey Uso was dealing with Logan Paul and the Judgment Day and a couple of football players. Braun Strowman made his return and kind of like smoked everybody, and it was hilarious. And he like sort of little brothered him a little bit as they were going up the ramp, but like Braun Strowman, again, put him in there with all the other big guys. Braun Strowman versus Braun Breaker, give me that match. It'll be fine. Tiffany Stratton stays on SmackDown because she's currently in contention for that championship. It makes total sense. Here we go. Once again, round three, here's where I really start getting into two different theories. A, we are separating people that need to be separated, and B, Raw, especially on Monday, is playing a numbers game. Raw drafted the entire LWO. Rey Mysterio, Zelina Vega, Joaquin Wilde, Cruz del Toro, and Carlito, even though Carlito turned on them and isn't in the group anymore, which is kind of hilarious. The LWO were in the back getting interviewed about this, being interviewed about the Carlito thing and how it's not quite over yet. So they've just moved that little rivalry over onto the new show. And then there was a stare down with Dominic Mysterio, whose arm is in a sling, so he can't do anything right now, reminding Rey that the Judgment Day runs Raw. Now, immediately, SmackDown drafted Legado del Fantasma, which is fine, which means we haven't just moved the entire SmackDown roster onto Raw, but it also means, for the people that were getting sick of LWO versus Legado, we've officially separated them. Now, it's absolutely fine. Raw finally drafted Drew McIntyre, and this is what led to the Drew McIntyre-CM Punk interaction for the evening that I talked about earlier. SmackDown drafted Shinsuke Nakamura, and I wish I could believe that that means something. I really do. I got nothing against Shinsuke Nakamura, but they have not given me a reason to care about Shinsuke Nakamura in a long time. Now, round, I don't know why it says one, because it's actually four. Round four, Raw drafted the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day, as I said earlier, is thinly defined as Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh, much like Imperium is now relegated to just Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser, much like the Bloodline is now relegated to just Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. But that's fine. It's all good. Because when they break up, he's the champion and he's on Raw. He's locked in on Raw because he's the champion. So I guess his fallout with Judgment Day has to happen on Raw. Naomi stays on SmackDown. Yay. I guess. I mean, she's part of the Big Three, which is another stupid name for a faction. Raw gets Ilya Dragunov, because of course they do. Gunther's on Raw. Ilya Dragunov and Gunther are going to find each other again. It's going to be fucking awesome. Now, what this does for NXT is it sets a very interesting path for Trick Williams, who just won the NXT Championship last week. We talked about it when I was talking about Spring Break, because both of Trick Williams' stories are gone now. He's got the belt. The guy he had to beat to get the belt. Lost my train of thought there for a second. He's got the belt now. He's the champion. He's the guy. The guy he beat for the belt is now gone. The last personal battle he had to get over was Carmelo Hayes before he could go and finally get that belt is also gone. So whatever he does as champion, as the head of that brand now, has to, by definition, be brand new. And I think that's fucking awesome. So happy for Ilya Dragunov. When they took their pictures in the back at NXT after the show was over and all the draftees had their new hats on, he was the only one that wouldn't. He had his hair like all slicked back and whatever, so everybody else has their hat on and he's just like holding it in front of him like it's some kind of award, which is a little bit cheesy and a little bit awesome. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven have been drafted to SmackDown. Now, this makes me laugh for two very cheesy reasons. First of all, Adam Pearce in the back celebrating that he doesn't have to deal with Chelsea Green and Piper Niven anymore. Except, they're a women's tag team, so if they win the tag team titles again, he will have to put up with them again. But also, Samantha Irvin is only the announcer on Raw. So if Chelsea Green is going to SmackDown, we're not going to hear the Chelsea Green thing anymore. Now, it sounds like I'm making fun of that. I think Samantha Irvin's awesome. The fact that she did both nights of WrestleMania and still had a voice at the end, she gets all the salutes from me. Now, round five. New Day. Obviously, Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, because Big E's still injured and we still wish him the best. And if he wants to come back, he can come back. They stay on Raw. Pretty Deadly stay on SmackDown. Lyra Valkyria, who's fucking awesome and kind of made her name in a feud with Becky Lynch, who's already a mainstay on the main roster. She kind of got lost in the Roxanne Perez conversation because Roxanne Perez, you know, should have been on the main roster forever. But the one that she was feuding over the title with was Lyra Valkyria, who was the one that had proved herself against main event talent already. Lyra Valkyria, when they showed her on NXT, receiving the announcement, like, absolutely letting herself get overwhelmed by the moment was really, really nice. Was just really, really nice. SmackDown picked up Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Okay, so Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell's, like, will they, won't they heel turn thing is moving over to SmackDown now, but their main feud has been with Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri, and they're staying on Raw. So I don't know. In round six, Raw drafted the Final Testament. Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Akam, Rezar, and Paul Ellering. So once again, in terms of feuds that just felt like they were never ending, the Final Testament versus Bobby Lashley and company felt like it was going on forever. And that has been separated now, so that's also awesome. Also, you keep the trend going of Raw absolutely playing the numbers game, because in one pick they got five people. Well, three male wrestlers, one female wrestler, and a manager. But five characters to play with nonetheless. They're also on NXT as well, causing havoc, and they're also taking on New Catch Republic on Friday in France. So they're kind of all over the place. SmackDown gets DIY, which is interesting. DIY has to be going for A-Town Down Under in those championships, because, I mean, Grayson Waller was the one that beat Johnny Gargano that sent him out of NXT for a while, and Austin Theory was in the way, and you could play with that a lot. Big Bronson Reed stays on Raw because they're building a super heavyweight division on Raw. I'm thoroughly convinced of it. And the last pick on last night's episode of Raw to SmackDown is Blair Davenport. Now, I love this. We went into this thinking, oh, Roxanne Perez is getting called up. Instead, we got... I thought Roxanne Perez and Fallon Henley. Instead, we got Kiana James, Blair Davenport, and Lyra Valkyria. Blair Davenport, I said it very, very recently on NXT that they haven't really found what she is other than she's the person that beats people up in the parking lot. She's on SmackDown now. I want her to step up to Indy Hartwell, because it was supposed to be Indy Hartwell initially that was doing all the beatdowns in the parking lot, but then they called her up, so they had to give that to somebody else. I want her to go up to Indy Hartwell and be like, you wouldn't believe all the shit that you did that they blamed me for down in NXT, and they could just have like a heel versus heel match, and that could be fucking great. But no, in all honesty, Character-wise, I don't know, Blair Davenport's all over the map, but she's awesome in the ring, and she's, like, more powerful than she looks, and I think it's a cool addition to the SmackDown roster. Now, on social media, they announced as well, after Raw, Apollo Crews is on SmackDown. I don't know if he was on SmackDown already or not. Giovanni Vinci is on SmackDown. Once again, doing some surgical separation. He was kicked out of Imperium. Now they're on separate shows. Now he can do his own thing. Now he was doing like that supermodel adjacent gimmick in NXT for just a little bit before they called him up to rejoin Imperium. Don't know if they're going to do that or not. Tegan Knox has been moved to SmackDown, which means she's done with, you know, infinitely tag teaming with Natalya. Natalya, speaking of her, not only is she having a match on NXT tonight in NXT Underground, but she's staying on Raw. Caden Carter and Katana Chance are staying on Raw. Odyssey Jones got drafted to Raw. What's Odyssey Jones done in the past ever? I'm not really sure. The Creed Brothers and Ivy Nile are staying on Raw. New Catch Republic has been drafted to Raw, which is a nice trade-off, seeing as SmackDown got DIY. I don't know. Do we get New Catch Republic versus The Awesome Truth? That's kind of interesting. New Catch Republic versus the Creeds. I wouldn't mind seeing at all. I'm incredibly biased. I'm really, really happy to see Pete Dunne as Pete Dunne and kind of getting in the mix and doing stuff. Former Destiny champion. Yes, check it off your Spice Phoenix bucket list. It's fine. And the last call-up from NXT coming up to Raw. I popped huge when I read this morning. Dijak is back on the main roster, and that's awesome, because Dijak, if you haven't been watching Dijak in NXT, he's kind of got this, he's a little bit Terminator, a little bit Sin City. He comes out with the black and white entrance, and he just takes himself way too seriously. But if you follow him on social media, he's one of the best social media guys out there right now, because he's just a dickhead, and he's a dickhead in all the right ways. And while everybody else was putting on Raw hats or SmackDown hats in the Performance Center, he had a mocked up Raw t-shirt, a red Raw shirt that said something like, "Are you ready for the Dijak hijack?" I'm all in on Dijak on Raw. And because they're so ridiculous in how they've found their characters and whatnot, I really want to see Dijak versus Drew McIntyre. I don't want either one of them to be a babyface. I just want both of them to be dicks, because I think it'll be hilarious. Now, we'll go through this again, because a lot of people stayed where they were, but let's, one more time, just go through the moves that were actually moves. Carmelo Hayes got called up. Braun Breaker went to Raw. Nia Jax went to SmackDown. Andrade went to SmackDown. Kiana James got called up. Baron Corbin got called back up, I guess you could say. I'm being a little loose with that. Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn hopefully find something to do on Raw. Damage Control as a whole moved to Raw, which is fine. Braun Strowman came back, period. Now, one thing I didn't say about Braun Strowman is he going to be part of this Uncle Howdy, the new glitch, the new QR code, possibly Bo Dallas, Eric Redbeard, Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss. Would love to see Alexa Bliss back, too. That should go without saying. All of the LWO came up to Raw. SmackDown got Shinsuke Nakamura. Ilya Dragunov got his call up onto Raw. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven went to SmackDown. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell went to SmackDown. Lyra Valkyria got her call up, which is awesome. DIY went to SmackDown. The Final Testament came to Raw. Blair Davenport got her call up onto SmackDown. And Dijak has come back to the main roster. I get that a lot of people stayed where they were, and a lot of the announcements were anti-announcements. But for all the flaws in this, and for all the, did it really do anything, for all the, did this take entirely away from this also being the go-home show to a big backlash in France? I'll take all those criticisms on board, but you can't say nothing happened. You just can't. There's a lot to mull over here. There's a lot to chew on, as they say. Let me know what you guys think. I'm all over the place with this. There's some good stuff. There's some bad stuff. What do you think about my theory that what they have done is, more than anything else, is separate people that needed to be separated. People that were teams that are no longer teams have been separated so that they can do other things. People and teams that were going at each other for way too long are now on different shows so that they're not going to be stale that way. I think, low-key, that's the biggest win out of this draft. Other than the NXT call-ups, I'm biased. I'm the NXT guy. I'm happy for the NXT graduates, if you want to call them that. And, yeah. Not terrible. Absolutely not terrible. Let me know what you guys think on socials, in the comment section, etc. I've been Spaz, your YWC Reality Check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but right now I am tagging out. Bye, guys.